I think you bring Mitch back, because I'd rather go with Mitch than Foles. And I know you have the guaranteed money, and I know that he's going to be there, but I'd rather play with Mitch.
Totally agree.
Totally agree.
100%. 100%.
Wow.
Yeah, that would be great, actually.
I thought we were brainwashed quarterback-wise in Minnesota.
Well, there's more where that came from, courtesy of our friends on The Score in Chicago and ESPN 1000. It is a glorious Bears Vent Line Monday. When the Vikings aren't playing in the playoffs, our next best thing is to just make fun of the other rival teams that lose. And so we will do that on Mackey and Judd today. Minnesota sports statements, things we learned over wildcard weekend, and Judd with a story about a store that we shall not speak of that we'll get to. But let's first talk about Federated. Federated's been helping business owners for over 100 years in the state of Minnesota, and they have some new powerful tools to help you, a business owner, in 2021. How helpful would it be for you to have employee training at your fingertips? Industry resources that can help your business reach another level of success. Well, that's why Federated Mutual Insurance Company recently launched MyShield, the online client destination for risk management resources. So think about all the things at your company that involve risk, right? Like do your employees drive vehicles? Do your employees use ladders? Do you anything and everything that would have to do with risk? MyShield has resources to help your business. So go to federatedinsurance.com, click on the MyShield link, or download the MyShield app. You can also just contact your local Federated Insurance marketing representative to have a discussion with a human that can talk you through all of these things. And remember, at Federated, it's always our business to protect yours.
The Score North Studios. Enjoy more of the things you love with TCL. These two guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackey and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
A franchise like this has got to get lucky once in a millennium. We had our chance. And we had a chance to draft two generational quarterbacks, and we picked the other one. So I don't see anything going to change. Yeah, maybe we'll bring in another person. And I know you can't fire ownership. All I'm just trying to tell everybody is just get ready for more of this, because it's not going to get any better.
How do you respect some of the dummies that are in charge? I mean, since Lovey left, since the guy wins 10 games. Oh, that's terrible. We got to get rid of Lovey after he wins 10 games. Get rid of him. Let's bring in, you know, geniuses like Phil Emery and John Fox and Mark Trestman, complete dummies. Oh, now we got Ron Pace and Matt Nagy. Again, dummies.
Is it hypocritical of us to sit here in this Viking state that has never won a Super Bowl and just
been
laugh
to one
our
since 77.
I know it's been, I mean, that was eight
Bears
years before
been,
I was born.
They've won. They've been to Super Bowls.
Is it hypocritical for us to sit here on a Monday morning still, even though the Vikings aren't even in the playoffs, and just laugh our asses off at the Bears
hell,
and their fans?
Hell yes, but who cares? Who cares? It's great fodder.
Why is it so difficult for the Trubisky truthers and the neophytes not to understand that this is a flawed quarterback who has a flawed GM with a a head coach that is an overachiever? You know, if that gets you 2 seasons at 8-8, okay, basically they have absolutely zero chance. The defense was very solid. I give them a lot of credit considering all the injuries. But if the Bears don't have a defense that scores, and basically our running attack, Trubisky's flawed. He's never going to be or beat Aaron Rodgers, who's the standard. The net effect, and my final bottom line is, until they make what I call the critical decision to get rid of the those three people, the GM, the head coach, and Trubisky, the Bears will never compete in our division.
The Trubisky truthers is great. Are there really Trubisky truthers?
No, that's
there,
what that's what I call.
Yeah, that's
Trubisky,
what I call
truthers.
Trubisky truthers.
Oh, he did that last week on something too, didn't he?
Yeah,
it's hilarious. But are there really people in Chicago that still believe?
I think there are.
My brother-in-law is unfortunately a big Bears fan, and so is my oldest sister. Unfortunately, they love Trubisky.
What?
They think Trubisky gets a bad rap, and that he is the right guy.
What do you mean he gets a bad rap?
Explain more. Like what?
Not to kill the messenger here.
No, you're good.
What's the rationale for that?
I just think they think he's, because he was this highly touted pick and they haven't had one before, like of this magnitude, that they just like really want it to work. Kind of like when the relationship is failing and you just really, really want it to work because like, you took a chance on it, and it looked like it was going to be magical.
But she smells good.
But she, yeah. But there's one good quality, and everything else is awful. You know.
I mean, there was a story that came out. I think it was like Friday or Saturday before the game, and Mitch Trubisky was quoted as saying he watches the Michael Jordan Last Dance documentary before every game.
Yeah.
To put himself in that mindset.
Wait. How much of it?
That's what people were like.
All 10 parts? I don't know.
That's like 10 hours.
10 hours. Spends all day.
I haven't watched a bit of game film. Why? Watching Last Dance.
And then there was the story that came out a couple years ago that like Mitch got off to a slow start like he does all the time. And they turned all the TVs off in the locker room so that he wouldn't have to see. It's like everything about him is, boy, like maybe I can pretend to be a franchise quarterback.
He's slightly better, but he is remarkably, I think, mentally wired like and physical abilities. Christian Ponder.
Oh yeah.
He's the same.
Like the throws. I mean,
one of us on this show called that as a rookie.
Ponder,
by the way. Just going to throw that out.
Nice work.
Yeah.
Ponder could make throws for sure at times, right?
A little bit mobile.
Little, yeah. He could run.
Seems like a smart guy.
He seemed like a smart guy, but he was probably book smart. But he wasn't athletically smart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, I think the day that you have to Phil's point, turn off the TVs in your facility to make the quarterback comfortable is the day that you start to look immediately for a new quarterback. Like, think about that position, the requirements. You're in Chicago, and we have to sort of like stroke you and be like, it's okay, Mitch. It's going to be okay.
But then the Mitch Trubisky stuff, and then there was the play where like the game's on the line, or they're like they need a first down, they're down by two scores, and he decides, all right, I'm going to tuck it and run it, which great, like use your mobility, and he's got to run like 3 or 4 yards to the first down marker,
short.
And he kind of like he points for like a block, and then he just kind of like meanders his way out of bounds on fourth down.
Yes,
like dude, this is just to zoom out for a second, Mitch. This is maybe the final quarter of you being a starting quarterback, unless you prove it right now.
Yes.
Right.
You need to literally John Elway helicopter your way toward that first down marker, go down swinging, and he's like, out of bounds.
And there are definitely times as a quarterback where you should be smart and go out of bounds or slide feet first, right?
Yep.
And then there's times like that where you need to say, I might get hurt. Oh, well, here it goes.
Yeah, my career's on the line right now. Let's do it.
Trubisky stepped out of bounds as if he was signed to a 5-year, multi-million-dollar contract without a care in the world, as if he was actually important.
Yeah, but that wasn't even the moment, because I follow a bunch of Bears fans. Like, I follow a bunch of those guys on the score, like Danny Parkins and a bunch of those guys who just bleed for, somehow, Bears colors, right? The moment... I'll let you guys guess. Can you guess the moment where their heads popped off and like all caps tweets with F-bombs and everything?
Yesterday? Yesterday's game?
Involving Trubisky or Nagy?
Nagy.
Oh, he didn't go for it on fourth down.
With 7 minutes to go.
Yes.
They're down by like 3 scores.
There were 3 of those in separate games yesterday.
Yep. Yeah.
Tomlin, Nagy, Vrabel.
It kind of reminded me.
I have no idea what any of them were thinking.
Do you guys remember that game, Judd? You were probably in Tennessee for this game when it was Brad Childress's third year. I think this was 2008, and the Vikings were playing the Titans.
And he punted from the goal line.
But yes. It was like the game was on the line. It was their last possession.
Yes.
And it's like when you're Nagy in that spot or you're Childress in that spot, to me, you're fired on the spot. What are you doing? You're just going to wave the white flag in a playoff game?
In a playoff game.
Playoffs? What do you do? Now, Childress's explanation was, he didn't flat out say I was waving the white flag, but his explanation was, guys.
His team had played so bad.
I don't want Gus Frerotte's back to be snapped.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
He's sending a message.
But this one
is a playoff game.
Yeah.
Let's hear from more depressed Bears fans.
Who knows if Mitch even wants to come back to this team? I mean, he's a free agent.
So many options.
Who knows? He might want to change for himself. You know, they turn his back on him. He might say, see you later. Go somewhere else.
What? What?
Oh my God! As if he'll have a pick of a team.
So many options after yesterday. All right, guys. Hey, I'm done with the Bears. I've graduated from these losers.
I'm going to Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Change the scenery.
Yeah, because I'm so mentally tough, too. Yeah. I can just jump to the Eagles or another. Oh, my God. What? These people are delusional.
I'm hoping that Ryan Pace is finito, adios, sayonara tomorrow or within the next 48 hours. And I just hope that the Bears will continue to hit continue to go after quarterbacks even in later rounds. You know, who knows? We might have another Tom Brady at pick number 199 at some point.
Spoiler alert. No, you won't.
Foles can see the whole field. He can read defenses. I don't know how many times they said that Trubisky was only looking at two receivers on one side of the field. So we limit ourselves. I know we've been on a good roll, but once again, we're not playing the 32nd, 31st ring defense. Okay, we're playing big-time football. So we need to have the big-time quarterback in there.
I know we need a quarterback, but please tell me, Hub, that if Ryan Pace is kept around another year, I don't even want to see him draft a quarterback in the second or third round because I don't think the guy is capable.
By the way, did that guy two callers ago,
Hub Arkosh?
This was Dave in somewhere. He referred to Nick Foles as the big-time quarterback. I get that Nick Foles, I think he's a Super Bowl MVP.
I thought he meant like, – maybe he was talking about Foles.
No. He's saying, I think you're that's the time that you need the big time QB that you don't have.
Okay. Now, the joke might be we sit here and we laugh and we throw stones in a very large glass house following the Vikings for all these years.
Vikings got Cousins. I don't know what you're talking about. They're fine.
But Cousins is miles better than what these guys have at quarterback.
That's what I'm saying. Yes.
So the Vikings are sitting in a great spot. Now, the joke might actually be on us if these reports from Chris Mortensen play out. Now, Chris Mortensen yesterday is reporting, and it sounds like he has potentially, he might even just have Deshaun Watson sending him this information. Or Deshaun Watson's agent is sending this information.
Yeah, I think it's
because he was making like corrections on the fly, specific to.
They're not as racist as I said they were. The Texans are just inept, so don't confuse that with them being blatant racist. Yeah.
They're still kind of racist, but I'm more mad about the ineptitude than the racism.
The clarification's my favorite.
And so his report yesterday is Deshaun Watson is absolutely miserable in Houston because of how incompetent their franchise is in ownership. And he would love to entertain a trade to the Miami Dolphins. But if there's other teams that could be in the mix, like I would love for the Vikings to be in the mix and we can have those discussions. The Chicago Bears actually make a ton of sense if they can put together the draft trade assets to make it happen. And that would be terrifying if the Bears, after all these years,
if you find out,
landed Deshaun bleeping Watson to run around that
stadium. If you find out that the Chicago Bears are actively involved in negotiations and even closing in on a deal with the Texans, if you're the Vikings, you have to get involved.
Just keep adding a first-round pick on top of the Bears'
offer.
You
can't allow... Can you imagine this division with Rodgers, who clearly is still damn good, and Deshaun Watson?
That wouldn't be fair.
Reckless speculation.
Well, let's unpack that for a second here before we get to our Minnesota sports statements. When you saw the double down, we talked about the Deshaun Watson stuff last week. And by the way, our two most popular YouTube videos on Mackie and Judd and Purple Daily, maybe of the year, not counting Vikings Ventline, were the Deshaun Watson trade speculation videos from last week. So thank you guys, and please subscribe to our Score North and Purple Daily YouTube channels. But now that you saw all the insiders over the weekend that mattered, and specifically Schefter and Mortensen, double down on this notion of Deshaun Watson wanting to be traded, what were your thoughts about it? And do you think the Vikings actually make a phone call? I know what we would do. We would already have like put together a trade offer. Do you think they actually make a phone call on
this? Not unless the Wilfs go to Spielman and say, make the phone call. I don't think Rick Spielman picks up the phone on his own accord and makes that phone call. If I'm the Wilfs, though, I would urge my general manager to know exactly what's going on and make that call just to see what's possible. But I believe he's going to be dealt. I think he is rightfully so not pleased. He has no, in Watson's case, no reason to lie about the fact that ownership came to him and said, we will involve you. because you're our marquee player, and we just signed you to a huge contract, right? And then I don't know why, because it strikes me as incredibly stupid, but instead of at least listening, they ignored him completely. I think he wants out, and I think that we saw in the case of Stephon Diggs that no matter how good the player is, if the player basically threatens to make the life of the team as miserable as possible, he's going to get his way. But no, if it's just up to Spielman, Phil, I don't believe that they make that call. Personally, you're right. I would.
God, I just think, I get that it's complicated because you'd also have to find a way to move off of Kirk's contract.
Yep.
And I don't know that it's as simple as, all right, Houston, you got a disgruntled quarterback. We'll give you a couple first round picks and, you know, something else, and we'll give you Kirk. I think they're going to want to know, and this is part of the reason why the Miami package makes more sense, because they're going to want to know, all right, well, if we're going to get rid of a star young quarterback in his emerging into his prime, and he's mobile and teammates seem to love him, we're going to want to know who our next quarterback development project is, right? Like, they're not going to want a 32-year-old when they're trying to probably strip this thing down. Like, J.J. Watt is past his prime.
And Tua. Rookie contract.
So, like, you're probably not going to be, like, if you engage in these discussions,
yep,
it wouldn't just be, we'll give you Kirk and a couple first-round picks, yeah, and then you give us Watson. You'd probably have to move Kirk separately altogether to, like, San Francisco or somewhere else, and that's a whole other discussion. So I get that it's complicated, but my God, like, Vikings, go look at the things that are, like, go look at the teams that are, I sent this tweet out this morning, the teams that are advancing in the playoffs and the teams that are the best in the NFL right now. You either need a good young quarterback on a rookie contract, preferably one that's mobile, Josh Allen. We saw what he did over the weekend. Or you need a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback. And if you have something in between where you have a non-elite quarterback and you're paying him a lot of money, you're just stuck in no man's land. It's not a coincidence the Vikings are sitting here like as a fringe playoff team or worse the last 3 years. Deshaun Watson changes that. And yes, I get it. He also makes a lot of money. And you're going to have to probably, you know, find a way to skimp on a couple positions because he makes like $30, $40 million a year, depending on the year over the next 5 years. But I think it's a huge mistake if they don't get involved and at least have a conversation with Houston. If they decide, well, listen, Kirk had a good second half and he's under contract, it's just too complicated, then that is a failed job by the Vikings front office.
I think that they are going to do everything in their means to run this thing back as much as possible, which I believe is a mistake. But can you imagine Deshaun Watson running your offense with components like Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson, mm-hmm, Irv Smith, Thielen, and the potentials there? And by the way, he can run too.
Yep.
So now you've got, pick your poison, Cook or Watson. Oh, but hold on a second. It's play action. And I'm throwing it to Justin bleeping Jefferson.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. Think about the glorious nature of watching six football games in 2 days and like what works now and what doesn't work and what's exciting and what's fun. Incorporate Deshaun Watson into the Vikings offense and imagine the possibilities. Even Zim, I think, would change his view on how it needs to work.
Dude, like I am like stopping just short of getting on my hands and knees and crawling to the Vikings practice facility and begging Rick Spielman. And you know what? Also, George Payton, I know he's been interviewing for different jobs around. George, get back to the Vikings practice facility or get back on a Zoom. Just need one last thing from you here before you take your first job as a general manager. Swing this trade. Because what you just said, like the scenario you just painted offensively, and people are going to say, well, the Vikings offense was already pretty good this year. Well, they were fourth in yardage. They were 11th in points. So they were still outside the top 10 in points. They were 13th in Pro Football Focus rating. To me, the offense was very good, and the offense was certainly better than the defense. But they're still, with all the weapons that they have, and you could still draft an offensive lineman in the first round, although you're going to have to give up that pick to get Watson in this scenario. If you run it back next year and you get these defensive players back, Danielle Hunter comes back and Eric Kendricks is healthy for a season and Michael Pierce, right? Your defense is going to be back above average. I think worst case, like it's an above average defense next year. If you run it back with the same offense and a better defense, you're going to be good. You're going to go like 10-6. It's a tough schedule, but you're going to go like 10-6. and you're going to make the playoffs, and you're going to be good, and you might even win a playoff game if you run it back and get the defense back with Kirk Cousins, etc. But if you run it back and you swap Kirk Cousins for Deshaun Watson, not only are you good, you are Super Bowl good in this NFC. With Drew Brees probably retiring, the Saints are going to take a step back.
Yep.
I mean, you are, and by the way, the Bears are going to go back into transition mode unless they're the team that gets Deshaun Watson.
Yep.
You are Super Bowl good if you run it back with a better, more dynamic quarterback in Deshaun Watson. Fix the problem that you've had
and think about
for
this.
Decades here.
Think about the potential workload that you take off of Dalvin Cook if you have Watson. Like, now you don't have to hand him the ball 1,000 times. It's different. It changes the dynamic completely. And that offense would be a nightmare for opposing defenses almost every week. An absolute nightmare. So do you think that they will make the call or no?
I don't think they do. I think they might make like a perfunctory phone call. I'm sure these teams are like, we had Gerson Rosas, the Timberwolves GM on, or president of basketball operations, on our show, a few weeks ago. And like, he kind of gave us the inner workings of an NBA front office. And he said, yeah, I mean, we call and float trades all the time.
Right.
And we actually propose like 50% of the trades that we come up with on our own. We just float stuff. I don't know what the Vikings are like, but I'm sure it's like that in front offices where like the offseason hits and you're going to pick up the phone. But I think they really like what they were onto offensively last year. I think my guess is Clint Kubiak becomes the offensive coordinator. They try to keep things intact. And I think in this case, good is the enemy of great. I think they're very comfortable being good. And they think, boy, if we're just good again, and maybe put a couple tweaks in there and maybe bring an offensive lineman in,
yep,
good is the enemy of great. And they view giving up a couple first-round picks and shaking things up by, you know, bringing in an entirely new quarterback and maybe even a new system, they view that as like a colossal risk. And I view it, if the goal is Super Bowl, I view it as a risk to not take a shot for a quarterback like a Deshaun Watson. That's where I'm at. The other thing, too, people point out is, well, look at what, I mean, be careful what you wish for. The Texans with Deshaun Watson, now that he's highly paid, won 4 games last year. So, you know, sure, he's great, but like, clearly his contract, or maybe he's overrated in some way. They won only 4 games, and so his contract or him being overrated must be part of the problem. To which I say, the Vikings are a competent, pretty well-run franchise. Houston has become a dumpster fire. The Jets are a dumpster fire. There's like 6 franchises right now, and unfortunately for Houston, they used to be fairly well-respected. They've sort of fallen into the dumpster fire category. There's so many franchises like the Vikings, and I would even say like the Bears, that if they just got their franchise quarterback finally, they would be Super Bowl contenders because they can build a defense and they can build all kinds of like skill position players and weapons. And so I don't think you can say like, well, Deshaun Watson comes here and all of a sudden you're going to go 4-12. No, the Vikings are a more well put together franchise.
Yeah,
so I don't want to hear that one.
I think the problem is this. I think they'd have the potential of making the phone call internally just from a GM coach standpoint. If the coach embraced offense and offensive philosophy and thought processes. But unfortunately, I think I can state pretty much as a fact that the coach is going to spend the entire spring and summer in his office trying to figure out how best to beat offenses with his defense. And so I don't believe that Mike and Rick would really sit down and have a conversation that meant anything about what if we did this? Like, Kirk's good. Let's all say that. But Deshaun Watson can be great. If they had an offensive-minded coach, which gets back to the point of why I think in 2021 you probably want one. If the conversation was, hold on a second here. Holy cow. If we did this, we can do X, Y, and Z, and it's going to be fantastic. And that doesn't mean that the coach is ignoring defense, but when the emphasis is how can I stop Deshaun Watson, not how can I obtain him, I think there's a problem there.
Yeah. Boy, if the Bears get him, there's a chance the Bears would, like, if you're not attempting to give up a bunch of first round picks for Deshaun Watson to fix this 50-year problem, then everyone should be fired anyways. So
that's quite possible.
He probably winds up in Miami, though, doesn't he? It's such an easy trade. They could send Tua back to Houston.
The biggest hope is that the Bears qualifying for the playoffs basically saved everybody, and Trubisky gets some type of like bridge deal. No. That's if you are a Vikings fan, the one good thing about the Bears making the playoffs is a potential false sense of security.
Yeah, that would be hilarious as well.
It's right, possible.
Let's get to some Minnesota sports statements here.
Yeah, I mean, it was different from our first two games. I thought the way we defended, it wasn't the prettiest game. The way we defended, though, helped us. I thought we were able to execute a little bit better down the stretch. And we got the ball in places we want. One, our guys who can make plays, but in the end, it was a gritty defense.
Ryan Saunders.
Gritty! We got gritty!
Talking about the gritty Clutterbuck, Carl Anthony Towns
Vanderbilt
defensive effort last night. They beat the Dynasty Spurs. That's right. One of the greatest franchises of the last 25 years.
DeMar DeRozan did not play. It was very fortunate.
Minnesota sports. So we've done Viking statements every Monday on Purple Daily, and we're bringing statements over to Mackie and Judd here as a Monday staple. And statements today is powered by our friends at Corona. In fact, so we've been guzzling Corona hard seltzers throughout the Viking season. Mm-hmm. They have kept us hydrated and sane. And now they are giving you, now that we're in the middle of this amazing month of football, they are giving you a chance to win the ultimate tailgate experience. Get this year. Six winners are going to get a Corona Game Day prize pack valued at over $3,500, including a 70-inch TV, wireless surround system, football furniture. I said football furniture.
This is my favorite.
Football. Literally.
You got to play the sounder when you say that.
Football furniture.
It's got to be the football sounder.
A Corona grill. You've got the Corona beanbag sets.
My gridiron bed.
All kinds of things. It'd be amazing.
I got a football bed, football sheets.
Instead of, what do they call
football the... Football sheets are very popular when I was a kid.
What do they call like the backsplash to a bed? Like a headboard?
Headboard.
Goalposts.
Nope, yeah.
Love it. You can double during the day. You can kick field goals.
Yeah. Probably some other things you could do with that, but details, rules, and entry at gamedaywithcorona.com. Gamedaywithcorona.com. Must be 21 or over. Live within a 40-mile radius of Minneapolis. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes subject to change. Enter by January 18th. And remember, gamedaywithcorona.com. Corona beer is imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois. Relax responsibly.
So you're saying that... The real gentlemen start with goalposts.
Yes,
is that what you're saying?
That's correct.
Got it.
Wide left.
Yeah, wide left.
Romo, Nance, Mackey, all 12. How many just the tip comments did we get on CBS yesterday?
I honestly missed them.
Oh, Romo! Yeah. Romo said it when a ball got deflected, and then there was the goal line play where Breeze looked like
just the tip.
They said it like 8 times. When Breeze looked like he scored but didn't.
God.
He's like, there it is, Jim, just a kid, just a tip. And then Nance started doing it. I couldn't believe it.
Come on.
Oh, my God. They're 12 years old. It was hilarious.
Grow up.
Are you kidding? Yeah. I loved it.
All right, let's fire up some appropriate music here. Statements, things we observed over the weekend in Minnesota sports, or even if it's like loosely related to Minnesota sports. Judd Zolgad, we'll start with you. We'll go around the room and make a few laps here.
Okay, I'll start with this one that is related to sports in this town, and it comes from dipping in and watching a large part of 6 football games, which was absolutely glorious. Okay, the Vikings could not have picked a worse year to go into a slight rebuild than 2020/21, because the NFC, my man, is as wide open top to bottom as I recall. Green Bay is good, but if that defense does not play well, they're eminently beatable, correct?
Yeah, I mean, the Vikings destroyed them in their last meeting.
The Saints are fine, but if the Vikings had... So I'm not saying if the Vikings had snuck in as the 7th seed this year, okay? What I'm saying is if Zimmer had his ordinary, doesn't have to be great, but stout defense, right? And they were efficient offensively, this is a year where you could have, I think, easily made a run. Nobody... the Rams, Seattle, Washington, Tampa, Chicago, the Saints, Green Bay. Nobody scares you. This would have been the year to get in with a defense that was just good.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to make an on-air sort of executive decision. I think because there's also things we learned over Wild Card Weekend, I think we're just going to make this Mackie and Judd statements from the weekend.
Okay.
And we're just going to put it all in a big stew here. All okay. right. So I'm going to start with
football.
This one. Kevin Stefanski is a better head coach from his couch than Mike Zimmer is Whoa. In the stadium. Yikes. He is the one that got Whoa. Away.
Whoa. Yeah.
The Cleveland Browns haven't felt like this. Their fans haven't experienced joy like that since Bill Belichick was the head coach in 1994. And I would even argue that when they had over the Patriots, they showed highlights of that during the broadcast last night.
Great shoulder pads.
Huge shoulder pads.
Do you like the old shoulder pads? Oh, my God.
Everybody was a fullback or a linebacker.
That's right.
Even the kickers had big shoulder pads.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
And I don't even think they felt that joy then because they knew their team was leaving. So, like, Kevin Stefanski from his couch helped produce the most joy Browns fans have felt since probably the late 1980s, like sometime during their runs where they
Schottenheimer
came up short, right?
Marty Schottenheimer. Yeah.
And the script and the game plan they put together. Now, it helps when Ben Roethlisberger is turning 90 years old in front of our eyes, and he's just like
yeah.
throwing wobbling ducks. But the Browns brought the energy. The Browns brought a game plan, and Baker Mayfield has been schemed into a very good young quarterback. And it's hard not to watch what Stefanski's doing with the Browns. Everything, scheme, offensive line, energy, chemistry, all of the things, and not compare it to what the Vikings have sort of turned into here. So that's my thought. Kevin Stefanski from his couch, greater than Mike Zimmer in the stadium.
You've done a great job.
Good job, Preef.
Football.
Oh, Preefer, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great job by Preefer. I had to delete about four tweets referring to sending the Steelers to an island you know, the rest.
Yeah, that'll happen.
Didn't think that would play well during this particular climate.
No, probably not.
All right, my football. Mine piggybacks right off of you guys. If it can happen in Cleveland, it can happen in Minnesota. Okay, for God's sakes, the Cleveland Browns haven't been to the playoffs in 18 years. They win their first playoff game. I haven't seen a Twins playoff win in 18 years, number one.
Yeah.
This franchise has been inept in football forever. If it can happen in Cleveland, something that happened last night, it can happen here too. So everyone that says that we're cursed, I've seen the Cubs win a World Series. I saw the Cleveland Browns kick the Steelers' ass yesterday, okay? It can happen here too. If it can happen in Cleveland, it can happen in Minnesota. Keep the faith. #faith.
In true Minnesota sports fashion, though, how nervous were Browns fans when the Steelers cut it to a 12-point game early in the fourth quarter?
I took great joy in that. Twitter was fantastic.
That was hilarious.
I totally turned off the game for the second and third quarter to watch Cobra Kai, and then once I heard it was a 12-point game, I was like, oh, wait, I'm back in.
Like, there's certain cities, and we are definitely one of, like, there's certain sports cities, I should say. Cleveland, we are one of them. There's probably a few others that just don't have enough reference points of success. We have low sports self-esteem and low sports self-confidence. Yeah. And so when something bad happens, you think, oh, God,
yeah,
we're going to blow a 35-7 lead.
Didn't
this
you think
it.
That, though? I thought to
a
myself, oh, my God, they might do this. They might blow this.
When the Browns went 3-and-out and the Steelers got the ball back,
yep.
And then something else happened, which will be a statement of mine shortly here. The Steelers get back.
I'm going to turn to the world of hoops and give you a Timberwolves statement about what I saw and I feel, despite the fact it came in a loss on Saturday, is a growing maturity and a sort of a changing of this person. Karl Anthony Towns deserves credit. He showed us something by coming back on Saturday with a cast on his left wrist. And it was clear that he was in pain. Mm-hmm. And it was clear that he basically could not use his left hand to do much in terms of basketball-related skills with that cast on. And he put up 25 and grabbed 13 boards and made some great passes. And it felt like the tone shifted or changed from this, woe is us, we're screwed without him, to, hey, he's playing. And then, of course, he didn't play in the back-to-back, which was not a surprise on Sunday. And the Wolves did win over the Spurs in the back-to-back. But the point being is, I don't think Karl Anthony Towns a year or two ago with this same injury comes back and plays as quickly as he did this time. I think it's a very important shift in him realizing his role and how absolutely instrumental playing through pain is because of what he means to this team.
Yeah, in fact, I'm going to respond to you by giving out my next statement because it ties
football.
In.
Football.
The Timberwolves are back, baby. Timberwolves are back. I don't even know what back means. Like, I don't know.
We're 3-7, right?
It's been a long time. But, yeah, I mean, Karl Anthony Towns is probably now one of the most underrated players in the NBA. I think for a while, he was very obviously one of the top 15 players a few years ago. And then he got the bad rap with Jimmy Butler and Tibbs. He disappeared in that series against the Rockets. And so his NBA stock went way down, and people thought he was soft. And now it's like you kind of watch him, and I'll admit it was a little hard to watch him through all the pop-up ads as the way I watch Timberwolves games. Yeah. To click delete and X out on somebody.
My house, so it's just fine. A little cold, but just fine.
Need that vaccine so I can come hang out at the Zolget house.
Yeah.
But he's like, if you notice too, on the sidelines, he's like coaching guys up.
Yep.
And he just, for a long time, it kind of felt like he's this star player that people are waiting to grow up, and he's got emotional and maturity issues, and like he's still growing as a human. But sometimes, like, you lose a parent and you go through some adversity, and you know, people denigrate you as a leader and as a player across the league, and Charles Barkley makes fun of you on national TV. Like, you go through some of that stuff and it gives you calluses, and it kind of feels like he's harnessing energy in the right way. If I could steal a phrase from Happy Gilmore, he's harnessing the good, blocking out the bad. Harness the good, block out the bad. Feel the flow, and he's becoming a leader, and so it's his team in that sense too, that he's empowered to pull Vanderbilt aside on the sidelines and say, hey man, do it this way. Yep. Defensively, a couple guys on Twitter, Wolves Twitter is great with putting film clips up and stuff, and I don't remember if it was Dane Moore or somebody else, he's anticipating defensively more than he has in the past. He's been very reactive and a step slow in the past. And if you watch him now, he's like anticipating passes and stuff.
Yep.
I mean, is he Kevin Garnett in his prime defensively? No. But is he better? Yes. And the Wolves, without him, held the Spurs under 90 points last night. So that's like 32 better than their season average. So we will take that. But it was fun to watch, and it's against the Dynasty Spurs. So 22-year Dynasty. I do. I click up. I X them out.
You just got to click them a few times.
Football.
Yeah. As you know. Don't go too far into those advertisements, or really bad things.
Yeah.
What happens?
Well, I'm just saying, some of the advertisements aren't PG sometimes.
Yeah, and then sometimes it's easy to click on the wrong button, and now you're downloading things to your computer. Yeah. It's a work computer.
It's a whole thing.
What's going on here?
It's tough. It's difficult.
All right, my next statement.
Not going to give in to the man, though.
Football.
Right. Screw the man!
My second statement, TikTok twins. Time to do something.
Well, that TikTok.
Yeah, right?
I thought they... With the kids. Nelson Cruz, hey, a little video.
TikTok twins, seriously, do something here. And MLB over the weekend, again, just started to infuriate more people. I saw Mackey's tweets about it on Saturday morning, too. I want the twins to make some type of move. We saw the Mets earlier last week make a big trade. Francisco Lindor, one of the best players in baseball. They basically gave up, I think, peanuts to get him, but whatever.
Yeah, you can't trade prospects.
Yeah, can't do that. Not at all. I don't care if it's Nelson Cruz getting re-signed. I don't care if it's making a big trade. Anything. Do something. Baseball. Like, and you're claiming you're starting on time? No, you're not. Like, stop kidding yourselves here. So, twins, to keep my interest alive, go do something so I can at least get somewhat excited for hopefully May 1st opening day.
Just poke them.
Hey.
With a twig.
It's like
twins, what's going on?
It's the meme. The stick figure poking another.
Hey, Joe. Go pull that. Do something. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't.
Stuff.
I don't think baseball teams have any incentive to, like, honestly, this is going to drag out. By this, I mean free agents on the market. George Springer is still out there. Trevor Bauer. This is going to drag out probably until like March or April with some of these guys.
Oh, hell yeah.
And
it'll go into spring training without question.
There will be a Mackey baseball rant at some point this week on the show based off a Buster Only article that was posted yesterday. But the problem is there's no framework. Like, you can say, well, but the pandemic hit us all really hard, and we're okay. The pandemic hit the NFL really hard, and it hit NBA really hard. The NBA got smoked by the pandemic too, right? I mean, not as bad as baseball, because the NBA will get hit harder this year because there's not going to be fans in the seats. So I get that, but the NBA has a structure. You know what the max contracts are. You like their salary caps.
Yeah.
Baseball has no structure. Therefore, guys just sit out there and have staring contests.
How do you not have your rules though? That's my question.
I know. It's nuts.
How are we in here? You know. We sit here in mid-January, basically, and you don't have your rules?
Dude, Kyle Schwarber just signed with the Washington Nationals this weekend.
He did?
Which, yep, he signed a one-year contract. Saturday.
I didn't even know he did that.
Saturday morning.
He signed a one-year contract with the Nationals, and two things off that. One, Twins related. He would have been a great plan B for Nelson Cruz, but because you have to sit here and have a staring contest, because Nelson Cruz is waiting to see if 15 other teams are going to open up his options, right? And he wants to know if there's going to be a DH in the National League, and then his value goes up. And so Kyle Schwarber signs with the Nationals, and their main message was, you know, we think he can play corner outfield for us, and if there's a DH in the National League, he might be a DH for us. They signed a guy, and they're like, I don't know. Maybe he'll be a DH.
It's rotisserie baseball. Yeah, we'll stick him in the utility spot, potentially.
We're not really sure if there's going to be one, though.
Hey, here's the thing. We'll play him at shortstop for one game, and then his value will go way up. We'll play
football.
So all the Declan's point, as a Mackey and Judd statement from the weekend, I will say this to baseball. You idiots, take a page from the National Football League, which marketing-wise with the NBA is genius. The idea of putting a game on Nickelodeon yesterday, the Bears, was so damn good. And I didn't watch a ton.
Good, I watched it.
But I dipped in just to see. And I bet you they cultivated more young fans who didn't care previously. I mean, this is exactly what baseball needs. To basically say, hey, here's our sport. We'll explain it to you. We'll make the players look like they're cool. We'll tie them in with people that you like and characters and stuff. It seems silly and goofy. It's genius. Yeah. It was completely genius. It was funny, too.
I loved it.
And the sliming, the Super Bowl sliming, when a touchdown was scored, they had the graphic of the green slime coming up. It's just all genius.
It's also very transparent, too, right? Like, they know, parents aren't letting kids play football as often because of CTE and concussions. Our youth football numbers are going down. What's a way in which we can get moms and families on board with NFL football? I don't know. Let's make a slimy first down line and put SpongeBob up as the field goal net.
How smart is that, though, to attract kids?
Genius.
Nate Burleson was great on commentary during
that. He's really good.
Yeah. He was very good.
Did you guys spend more time? Sounds like Judd ducked in. I watched like probably 5 minutes of the Nickelodeon broadcast. It was great. Declan, were you watching it the whole time?
Yeah, I woke up from a slumber, a typical Sunday slumber from a Saturday night of fun around the second quarter of that game. And then I watched the whole thing. And I enjoyed it. I really, really liked it. I thought it was great.
I couldn't go away from Romo. I needed to meet some Tony
Romo.
Wait,
you woke up in the second quarter of the Bears-Saints game?
Yeah, I took a nap after I fell asleep around the fourth quarter of the Titans game.
Oh, okay, all right.
And then I woke up about in the second quarter of the Bears game.
Gotcha.
The only thing I didn't like was, you could tell because it was a kid-friendly audience, they were afraid to criticize, because towards the end, they're like, oh, Mitch Trubisky, he's trying so hard, like, he's been such a good sport all season. It's like, guys, he's pretty bad.
Then there was a couple instances where you're wondering, like, was it a catch or not, and trying to explain that to kids, that is a whole...
Romo, though, was great. Amazing. At home, too.
Football.
Worked from home.
Is it back to me, or was it Declan that just went?
Judd just went.
So it's back to you.
It's back to me?
Back to you. Yep.
Okay. All right. NFL coaches still have no idea how to manage fourth downs. We saw it three times over the weekend. So Matt Nagy punting, we already talked about him punting down, I believe it was 18 points in the fourth quarter. Your season's on the line. It was like a 4th-and-8. Mitch Trubisky struggling. So very unlikely, and your season's probably over either way. But like, dude, what are you punting for? Can anyone give me like one, even for like a wave the white flag purpose? Why would you, even if you're about to wave the white flag, wouldn't you still just throw a pass?
Yes. Yeah.
What's the explanation?
I have no idea. I don't know.
So that was one of them.
We want to pin him, Phil. We want to pin him.
Yes.
Give our defense a chance to stop him.
Well, that's the voice of Mike Tomlin from yesterday.
Saw it.
Because he also punted. Well, Mike Vrabel and Mike Tomlin both punted on 4th-and-short from around midfield when trailing in the fourth quarter of a playoff game. And Tomlin trailed by 2 touchdowns. So it becomes a math game at that point. Let's say there was like, I think it was like at the quarter change or somewhere right around there. And it was 4th-and-1 or 4th-and-2. And they're right around midfield. And the Steelers are mounting this comeback, and Mike Tomlin decides to punt. And I believe they punted into the end zone, so the difference was even less than it would have been. And his explanation after the game was, I wanted to preserve momentum by pinning them deep So his thought was, if we don't get it, I have lost momentum. But dude, you might only get the ball back twice anyways, and you're down by two touchdowns.
And the Browns scored.
Punting is giving away momentum.
And the Browns went down and scored.
And it didn't matter. Right, and he also said, by the way, in a game in which the Browns at that point, I think had scored, I think they were at 35 points at that point. Maybe even 42. But the Browns had scored more points at that point than any other Steelers game allowed all season. And Mike Tomlin's logic was, well, we had stopped him on the previous couple drives, so we figured we could pin him and stop him again. Like, dude, they've run up 35 points on you already.
And they're headed to 50. They're headed to 50 points, Mike.
Like, what do you think is going to happen here?
But what is the reasoning from situation to situation? That's what I don't get. Like, Vrabel at times is really aggressive.
Because they view it more, it's more of a risk because we might not get it, as opposed to the risk of giving them the ball back down two touchdowns, right, and you only might get it back twice.
Right.
That's the risk. And the Steelers, they flashed a graphic on two-point conversions, which are pretty similar to like fourth and ones and fourth and twos, right? You use your best short yardage plays. The Steelers are 60% conversions on two-point conversions since Mike Tomlin has been the coach over 12 years. So they're a great short yardage team. End rant. But like, how do coaches not have this figured out yet?
I don't know.
We're actually, and now it's like when Mike Tomlin came in the league, coaches would get ripped more often for taking risks. Now it's like you get savaged for not taking the risk.
And
Tomlin took them, right? It seems like he takes them more than other teams.
He took them a lot at one point. So
coaches,
I just don't get it.
Be smarter.
Football.
All right, my third statement here. I don't know if this team's going to be good, but the Minnesota Wild are turning a page, is what I'm saying. So they're turning a page from the previous era of Wild hockey. The Wild might be all right. I think they'll contend for that final playoff spot in their division. But finally now, Zucker is gone. Granlund's gone. Nino's gone.
Coyle's gone.
Scandella's gone as well.
Niederreiter,
gone. And I know some of those guys have now been gone for 2 years. But we were still holding on to the fact of, well, either two things. Number one, oh, you sold too low on them. Or two, well, they were still good players and we still should have built around them more. No. All four of those guys achieved what they were going to achieve. They never elevated their game to the next level. And they're supplemental pieces. That's what they are. So guys like Nick Bonino and Nick Bjugstad, who are here on one-year contracts, Marcus Johansson too, I don't know if these guys are going to turn around and build up the Wild to make them a deep run in the Stanley Cup playoffs. But I do know that the old era of Wild hockey, the Chuck Fletcher, Paul Fenton era of Wild hockey is now done. It's a new era. And I'm excited to see what happens. I'm just excited that a new era of Wild hockey is coming to the stage.
And with supplemental players, like, there's no need to lock them up to 4 and 5 year contracts, right?
Exactly.
Like, just you can rotate those guys.
Just get a center. Please, God, go get a center.
Is it harder to find a franchise center in hockey than it is to find a franchise quarterback in football?
I thought
you were going to say even an ace in baseball.
No, it's probably an ace in baseball. I would say a franchise center in hockey, an ace in baseball, is probably tied for the second behind. I think finding a franchise quarterback is probably the most difficult. Centers, though, are right behind that, but it is tough. But I mean, the Wild doesn't even have like a guy who you could put atop the depth chart and be like, it's going to be okay. They are basically trying to piecemeal this thing, and they've got this Bonino guy as a second line center right now, and he's fine. But Nick Bonino's a third line grinder. He's a gritty grinder, and not a second line guy. So they got to find one. I got one more because I feel bad for this guy, but it just drives me crazy. Gabe Kalscher's inability to knock down threes is one of the most perplexing thing right now going in Minnesota sports.
Yeah,
like, he's got the shot.
It's weird.
He's got the shot. He never lacks for confidence. He's jacking them up. Yeah. I mean, it's not like he's like, I can't make them, coach, so I'm... He's jacking them up. They look like they should go. They're an air ball one time. They are literally halfway down the cylinder the next time before it pops out of there. My God, what's happened?
He must just knock these down in practice, right? Otherwise,
yes.
Because if he couldn't make them in practice, they would tell him, hey, I don't know, you must have just been hot your freshman year, but like, we got to stop taking those shots.
Yes. But I don't get it. And it's just perplexing. And the problem is, you go to Iowa, Michigan, and the games that they have lost, which I think is up to four now, on the road, and Gabe jacks up a few threes, and they don't go in, and then the opposing team on their home floor comes down and goes on, you know, let's say a 10-2 run, and it's done. But I just don't get it.
Imagine
2 years ago, this guy was knocking down threes like there was no tomorrow.
Like
it felt like.
Like imagine if you could just take freshman Gabe Kalscher and put him on this team.
Yes.
This team just needs freshman Gabe Kalscher to sit there, just knock down like four threes a game. I don't know how much it would change some of these 30-point losses, but...
But it would change the momentum of
probably change the Iowa game from this this last weekend a little bit. I mean, you didn't get beat by 30 in that game at least, but it is super weird. It's a very prolonged slump. Like, you never saw Blake Hoffarber go into, like, a 2.5-year slump.
No, it's absolutely football. Perplexing.
All right, I think that's a wrap on Mackie and Judd's statements. Dex, do you have one more?
No, those are it.
Okay, because Judd has we got to get to Judd's story here.
Oh, you guys are going to love this story.
Phil Mackie, Judd Zolgad.
That's the worst idea you've ever had. You've had some bad ideas. That's the worst one.
All right, go ahead.
Okay.
Are we going to redact the name of the store?
Yeah.
Okay. Good luck.
St. Louis Park chain store.
By the way,
but
I know
not a grocery
store. And I also go to this store.
Okay.
And I have experienced things.
Very convenient store to go to on a Sunday when I needed mix for pancakes for Dawn to make.
Wow, they have that.
They have that. I almost said it.
Dude.
I almost said it.
Most likely, if we had a yearbook for Mackie and Judd, most likely to rip a future sponsor of the show, Declan Goff.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that. It's bitten people in the butt in this company before. I'm not saying the name.
Continue. I'm just turning my mic off.
So I was sent out to get pancake mix, newspapers, the Sunday paper, okay?
Yeah.
And some soda pop. Three things. So that's not worth a trip to Cub because, you know, I mean, Cub's bigger. I wanted a quick in and out, and this is the perfect place.
Yeah.
So I go and I get the small cart, you know, small cart, throw the papers in there, go get the pancake mix, one box left, thank God. My day is going well at this point.
So not only do they have this mix,
attaboy.
It's popular there.
It must be. Very easy. Very amazing. Easy. And then the final thing is a thing of Sprite, a case of Sprite. So 12. All right. So get in line. It's a small line. It's fine. It gets done quickly. So now I'm at the counter.
Oh, God.
And I get my stuff out of my small cart. I get my pancake mix. I put that on the table for the guy. I got my newspapers, bang. And then I put the pop on. And, of course, I say, hi, hey, what's going on? The guy sort of, hey, what's up? So that's fine. So then he pulls. So the counter that this is on is actually a fairly decent size. It's not that small. But somehow the guy pulls the pop to scan it. And it's a case. And he accidentally pulls it off the counter and it falls and it breaks. So the pop now is shaken up and the case is broken.
Yeah.
All right. So I say to him the customary thing. Can I go get another case to replace the one? And I swear he looks at me and goes, no.
What? The guy behind the counter.
The guy behind the counter who had just dropped the pop and, by the way, broke the case. So the case, I did not present to him a broken case. He dropped it totally on him because I had put it very neatly on the counter. He dropped it.
And he says no?
And he says no. And
see,
I'm like,
I actually thought this story was going to go in a different direction. I thought he was going to say yes, and then someone behind you in line was going to take issue with it.
No one's behind me.
This guy takes issue with it.
The guy working at the unnamed store is now telling me no. And the great thing is it's a definitive no. As if, end of conversation. And it's one of those moments. Do you know when you hear something clearly, but you can't believe that you just heard that?
Yes.
Yeah.
So there's no confusion. He had said no.
And you had, you probably asked to clarify.
And then I asked, I said, but the case dropped and it's broken. Mm-hmm. I didn't even mention that every can was now going to explode, possibly, depending on when I opened them up. And he goes, well, if I let you put this back, no one will buy it.
And he's right, but...
So, again, I'm not even...
But you're not going to buy it. So what would stop... Okay, what would stop... Oh, my God, I have so many questions. What would stop you... So let's say you were to... Let's say you wouldn't have asked the question. Let's say you said, you know what? I'm not going to buy it. Now that you've just done that to the...
I don't know.
Then to the case, I'm not going to buy that. You make your purchase, and then you go and get another case, and you stand in line again or whatever, and then you buy another one. Like, is he saying that... Is he saying, I break it, you buy it? Like,
yes.
You
and
have
he
to
had
buy
rung
this.
It up, so my guess is he would have said, it's already paid for. I don't know, because we didn't even go there. We Holy didn't crap. Even go there.
What Holy do you cow. Even
But he goes, no one will buy it.
Oh, my God.
To which
God.
I thought, no bleep, Sherlock. Of course they won't. But anyway, so then I simply asked the one question that came to my mind. I said, I have to carry that out. It's broken. If I carry it out, all the pop's going to tumble out. To which he says, and I'm not joking, this is not made up. You couldn't make this up. Just put some tape on it.
You just put some tape on
he
it.
He told
you,
me.
You just put some tape on
it. He basically told me that I should put some tape on the thing of pop that I had bought that he had dropped.
And then I suppose the next question would be, well, I don't have tape. Do you? And he'll say, aisle three.
So
what did you do?
So then here's the best part. So we get through like the hat trick of things. So now we've gone through three permeations and he's told me you're stuck. To which I finally said, okay, if that's going to be the case, I need to talk to a supervisor then.
Pun intended.
To which he then looks back and says, okay, just go replace it then.
Oh, you did.
Full circle.
Yeah, that was all. That was it.
Oh, my God.
So supervisor got him to just back right off.
Through like, oh, my gosh, so many things.
I've never had anything close to this happen where I was so in the right.
Okay. I actually have a story, sort of a, this was Judge Dilemma. I had a Phil's Dilemma situation over the weekend, but I went to, let's just call it a similar store one time.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wanted to get a custom photo book made for my wife's birthday.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Doing something very thoughtful.
Okay.
Just, you know, some memories and different things, oh, just yeah. being thoughtful,
That's
right?
Cute. Yeah.
And this particular place helps you make photo albums. Like you put an order in online and they will make a photo
album. I know where the photography department is.
I've been there. I've done that.
And so
right near the counter.
I walked over there. So I put an order in like the day before. Saying, I want, so call it on a Tuesday in the morning, I put in an order for a specific type of photo book, and I sent all the materials, and I want to pick it up the next day at 4 p.m., between like 4 and 5 p.m. So I'm giving you a day and a half and whatever. And so I get there, and I say, hey, I'm here to pick up my order. And the person behind the counter says, okay, let me just check real quick. Goes and checks and comes back and says, did you want it? Like right now? And I said, yeah, I put the order in yesterday so I could pick it up right now. I said, is it not done? And they said, no, it's not done. And just kind of looks at me. And I was like, well, can you do it? and then they said, let me just check. And so they go and get someone else. And then they have a little conference like in the back without me. And then they both come back and they say, so this isn't done and we don't have this particular binder to put together the exact order that you had.
All right.
And I said, okay, well, how are you going to solve that? I just kept I had solutions in my mind. I'm like, I mean, there's a million things you could do.
Right.
Because you do have resources back there.
Right.
But I kept throwing it back to them. I said, well, how are you going to solve that? And they said, well, I don't know. I guess we could just give you your money back. And I said, no, I don't want my money back. This is the gift. Like I am planning on giving this gift tonight to somebody and I'm picking it up right now. Like I don't have another day.
There's not.
I'm here to pick it up and I'm getting
it. Which is why you put in the order the day before.
Right. Exactly. And And so they look at me and they said, well, yeah, we just don't have the parts. And I said, I'm like as condescending as you could be here. I said, well, behind you, it looks like you have other types of binders. I sent you the photos. Could you just take the photos I sent and literally put them together with anything? And they said, two of them. And they said, well, neither one of us really knows how to do that. And so I said, does anyone in the building know how to do it? And they like found someone in the building that has done it before and like must have moved to a different department. And they put together something different. And they said, we can give you $5 off. And I was like, honestly, I'll literally pay whatever because I have a self-imposed deadline here.
Right.
But the whole thing was like, what are we like?
Well, this like, is the same, solve the problem. If this is the same place that I was on Sunday, it's no surprise.
I will withhold. I will plead the fifth.
So oh, my God.
I actually have another thing that happened to me this weekend that I want your guys' thoughts. It's sort of a choose your own adventure. What would you do?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I had one too, but it's not appropriate for the show. But yes.
Of course. Of course you did. Declan After Dark strikes again.
Yeah.
So, okay. So obviously this pandemic has I live in an apartment complex and our exercise room has been open at some points and closed at some points, right? So our exercise room opened back up a month ago. I think it was closed for a while, but now, so it's been open again for like a month since Governor Walz's last update. Now restaurants can open again today, but it's been open for a month. And so we like to go down. My goal is I don't want to weigh 400 pounds. I just want to use my workout room, okay? Mm-hmm. So this is not a referendum on whether COVID is a hoax or not, or whether like masks help or not. My mission in this statement and with my workout room is I want to work out because I don't want to weigh 400 pounds. Okay.
Yep.
Good reason.
Yeah, yep. Sounds good.
And so three different times in the last 2 weeks, our building's office has sent out notes in like bold letters saying we've gotten some complaints that people aren't wearing their masks in the workout room. And just to be clear, you have to wear a mask in the workout room throughout the entire duration. Mm-hmm. While you're working out, you have to wear a mask. And if we keep getting complaints, we will close the workout room. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
So again, like we can sit here and debate whether that's stupid or not. The building is saying if you don't wear a mask in the workout room, they will close it. And now we all weigh 400 pounds. Okay.
Yep.
So go down on Saturday morning, walk in there. And sure enough, there's a guy and his daughter, and they're using, and it's fairly small. I mean, it's like there's like five cardio machines and like two of them are unplugged so that they can be socially distanced, right? Like we're talking about, it's the size of like a fairly large, like a one bedroom apartment is like the size of this workout room. There's like a little yoga room and then there's like a, you know, a machine thing in the corner. Mm-hmm. And so it's a fairly compact place. There can only be like four people in the room at any given time during COVID. And you all have to wear masks and walk in. Sure enough, the guy and his daughter, neither one of them are wearing masks. The guy has his mask pulled down around his chin, right?
Of course.
And so I walk in. I got my headphones in. I'm just like, I just want to go get like 30 minutes in. Just let me go rock that elliptical like a fat ass for 30 minutes and then get my butt out of there.
Yep.
And sure enough, like he makes immediate eye contact and says, hey there. Hey there. Like, you know, puts his heart like he's going to be Mr. Social in the room, right?
Yep.
Hey, do you mind? And he's saying this with his mask down. He says, I'll put my mask on if that's okay. But do you mind if she doesn't wear a mask? She's just a little girl. She's probably like 8 or 9 years old.
Yeah, she can't have COVID.
Right. She's probably 8 or 9 years old. And again, like whether or not she can spread COVID is a separate discussion that I also am interested in. But I'm mostly interested in not getting the workout room shut down in that moment.
Right.
What do you do if you're me and you walk in and he asks, is it okay if she doesn't wear a mask?
Well, if it's just so was there a fourth person in the room or just the three of you?
My wife walked in with me. Yes.
Was she going to complain to management? Because I think at that point in time.
Both of us are kind of people pleasers. Like
if you
don't
just want your
tension.
Half hour of workout time, I wouldn't care that much, but if a fourth or fifth person walks in and they're, because you're basically saying your goal is to not have more complaints because this
correct
Yahoo has his kid in there without a mask
on. I'm a little worried about like having a kid give me COVID. Like,
makes sense.
I'm more worried about the room getting shut down because people aren't.
I probably
would
have worked out and just left.
So that's pretty much what I did.
Yeah, like, I probably would have done that.
That's pretty much right.
Now,
did.
If the room was packed, though, then you know you got a problem because someone will complain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it was annoying, and I was like, you know, I feel like I should say something, but I just kind of let it go. So then I wake up on Sunday morning, and I'm like, all right, I
got
to get
you got this terrible cough.
I got to get some more.
I don't feel so good. That 8-year-old kid.
I had a 104 fever. It was terrible. So I'm like, all right, I got to get some more movement in here. I try to work out on both Saturday and Sunday, and then hit a couple times during the week if possible, whatever. If I'm not lazy, so I'm like, all right, I'll go down there get a quick session in. I open the door. There's two people in there.
No masks?
The same two people.
Oh, no.
No.
Not wearing masks.
Is the 8-year-old working out?
Yes.
Can't the kids stay up in the apartment?
I don't know.
Watch cartoons.
I don't know.
Tell the kid to watch cartoons. You don't need to work out. You're 8.
And the thing is, like, this dude is so he's so nice to. He's just like, hey, good to see you again. Like, no mask.
This
and I'm
is,
just like,
that's
dude,
a definite. That's a great
dude.
Curb. That's a great curb. Oblivious nice guy.
And again, it's like
that's 100%.
There is a discussion about like,
hi Phil,
how dangerous is COVID?
What's going on, neighbor?
But the other discussion is, bro. Put your mask on or this bleep gets shut down.
I would encourage the kids staying upstairs in the apartment watching TV.
Yeah.
Oh, I think that would alleviate the problem.
My guess is, like, not to play like sideline parent as a non-parent, but my guess is you got little kids. They're not going to school. They're homeschooling. They're like, they're just sitting around. You want to get them active. And so I think the goal is like, see if I can get my kid to be active for an hour.
Without a mask on.
Yeah.
Oh. That's great. Yeah, so eventful weekend for both of us.
Yeah, for you guys.
And Dex, too, but he can't tell the story.
I can't tell the story.
Dex after dark, maybe.
It's not even an after dark conversation. Speaking of ripping potential sponsors, that was my dilemma.
Oh.
All right, well, we'll get the story
off the mic.
Off the microphone. Check out Purple Daily today.
Probably a good call,
Dex. Deeper Vikings dives, and we'll see you guys tomorrow. Phil Mackey, Judd Zolgad. Again, this is where perception and facts are going to meet in the middle here. You're going to be perception. I'm going to be facts.
Mackey and Judd.